So what happens when you've been absent from school 9 times in 1 semester? How about you make it 10? Because we're ready to take a day off. So you should know what that means. We're heading to Chicago in a ridiculously nice car in this brand new episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Hello and welcome on this podcast. We'll take a look at everything the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll provide some unique insight and hopefully some awesome memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by McCracken. It's my good friend, Rob.
Hey, hello. For this episode, we'd like to welcome the Sportos, the Motorheads, the Geeks, the Sluts, the Bloods, the Wastoids, the Dweebies, and the Dickheads. Dave and I adore you. Actually, we think you're pretty righteous dudes.
Pretty righteous. Yeah. All the way around?
All the way around.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
We do think you're righteous dudes.
Yeah. Labels be damned.
We don't use the word dudes enough. We should dude more often on this show. We don't want to get too duded up.
No.
It's kind of like that time I introduced bro and you just shot that down like in a heartbeat. So
I think dude.
Dude, yeah. And bro are great.
I think I probably use it too much now as an adult.
Yeah.
Dude. That's probably something I would like to see you
like in an official meeting at school. All right, dudes and dudettes. This is what we're doing for our... Da da da.
Yeah, I did one time. I'll refer to students that way as dudes every now and then. I go, dude, you know, we got to figure this out. And a parent got mad at me.
What's wrong with that? Because, they got mad at you?
Yeah. Why? Because they felt like that was a disrespectful way to address their son. Dude. Okay. So I was like, he is not your dude.
When we were kids, a lot of people were disrespectful to us because the word dude flew around.
A lot. Yeah.
I like dude. Think of all the cool dudes in the world. Dude Ranch.
Mm-hmm. There's, you know, The Dude.
The Dude. The Big Lebowski. There was a show called Hey Dude, on the Nickelodeon.
So yeah, that was on a dude ranch.
So lots of dudes going around right there.
We've talked about dude.
I think dude has run its circle here. So, let's get away from dude and have Robbie tell us what we're going to talk about for this podcast.
All right. So on this episode, we're doing a standalone movie discussion about the 80s classic Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris.
Yeah.
Well, when you think 80s movies, teen movies, funny movies, any movie, I think Ferris hits all the buttons. Probably an iconic film from every Gen X standpoint. If you talk to anyone who grew up at that time frame, I don't think there's anyone. Mm-hmm. I've never run into anyone that didn't know what Ferris was. No. I'd be shocked if I did. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's stood the test of time, and it's just a great movie. I watch it still today. There's lots of good quotes. My kids have watched it. They like it. I think a true 80s classic.
Yeah, and I think there's it ages well. I don't think there's a lot of things in there that didn't age, you know, super well, but
yeah, not too many.
No, I thought it still had a lot of the themes still carry today, you know, for adolescence and high school, and you know, so yeah. But I for me, I think we were talking earlier, I think it for me is the 80s movie.
The
80s for me, yeah. When I think of 80s movies, I think this is the 80s movie.
And of course, because I love to argue with you, I just said I would say top five,
yeah.
Because if you lined up a bunch of 80s folks together, Breakfast Club would come out.
Yeah, Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, there's some.
Probably 16 Candles.
Some big players in there.
Weird Science.
Oh, that's good.
I love Weird Science. Yeah. Top Gun would be a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Footloose, for better or worse. I think we talked about Footloose.
Yeah.
I don't like talking about Footloose.
I was going to say how much you liked that movie.
It's very bad.
I did not. I was surprised that you didn't like that movie.
Why would you think I would?
I don't know.
It?
I thought I had it in my head that you liked that movie. But
have you watched it lately? Go back and watch it and try to tell me it's not corny as all.
Well, I just have to see the dance. scene in the warehouse, and I've had enough.
If you want to watch the dance scene,
I've never felt compelled to
go watch go anywhere the movie Hot Rod, because that's actually funny, and he reenacts that dance scene.
That's funny,
and it's much better.
Yeah. It's meant to be funny.
But two overrated 80s movies are Footloose and Dirty Dancing. Dirty Dancing has a lot of problems.
See, I would have thought that you liked it. Oh,
yeah, it's great. 30-year-old guy hitting on and having intercourse with a 16-year-old. It's wonderful. Perfect.
A lot of dark tones. Abortion and
They're great dark tones, but they do it all around all this fun music and dancing. So everybody's like, oh, this is a fun movie.
Yeah.
No, it's not a fun movie. Maybe the soundtrack wasn't bad, but the movie itself is a bag of something.
Yeah.
We'll go with trash.
Yeah.
That's the word I like.
A hot bag of garbage.
Hot bag of garbage. Well, those aside, Ferris is our man today. Classic from the 80s. Your go-to 80s movie.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a go-to 80s movie for most people. And with all that, let's steal a car. Get out of the suburbs for the day and do way too much stuff in a short amount of time as we take quite an adventure with everyone's favorite 80s teen, Ferris Bueller. Now, normally Rob and I will do a top 10 list of a selected topic, but for this episode, we have developed categories we'll give our opinions on for Ferris Bueller to have some fun with the movie and let you relive the best parts, or what we think the best parts of the movie are. But before we do that, let's dive into some of the important details. At least I think they're important. Mm-hmm. You might not. People at home might not care, but we're going to read them anyway. So Ferris Bueller's Day Off was released June 11th, 1986, directed, written, and produced by 80s icon John Hughes. He made all the movies we've been talking about for the most part. It stars Matthew Broderick, Jennifer Grey, Alan Ruck, and Mia Sara, a host of other character-type actors. This had a budget of $5 million and made over $70 million at the box office, which is probably really good in 1986.
Yeah, no joke.
The Rotten Tomatoes, 81%, so critics love it. Audience, 92%, so everybody loves this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hughes wrote the screenplay in less than a week, and as we've mentioned previously on the pod, it was selected in 2014 by the Library of Congress, deemed culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. For all its accolades, it was only the 10th highest grossing movie in 1986.
Wow.
The nine in front of it, because I know you love this, Rob, in order, with from number one,
okay,
Top Gun, Crocodile Dundee, Platoon, Karate Kid Part 2, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, Back to School, which I bet you still haven't watched, Aliens, The Golden Child, and Ruthless People.
Oh, wow.
So those were the movies ahead of it at the box office. Wow. A couple of those I'm a little surprised about, but it happened. And with all that, Rob, go ahead and give us a quick overview of the plot of Ferris Bueller.
All right. Having devised an ingenious plan to skip school, popular high school senior Ferris Bueller can't wait to put it in motion. And as his lovely girlfriend, Sloane, and neurotic best friend, Cameron, tag along, an exciting no-holds-barred adventure through Chicago begins. However, there are so many ways to go wrong. Reckless Bueller now plays with fire. For instance, Ferris's vindictive sister Jeannie, also known as Shauna, knows her little brother is up to no good. As if that weren't enough, Ferris's ridiculed dean of students, Ed Rooney, already smells a rat, and he is determined to make the chronic truant remember his name for the rest of his life. But first, Rooney has to catch Ferris in the act. Do they have what it takes to ruin Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
All right. So, cliff notes of this. Ferris doesn't want to go to school. Ferris gets two friends. They skip school, and they go screw around in Chicago.
Yep.
That's all of it.
Yeah.
Then some hijinks ensue in between. So, but great explanation of, you did a great job.
Yeah.
Formulating that explanation. Yeah. It's really good.
I would like to take credit for it. Oh, but okay.
You could have. I don't know. Nobody's.
No, I'm going to give credit to it. It's IMDb, and it's a gentleman by the name of Nick Reganis.
Well, thank you, Nick.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Everybody give three cheers for Nick.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you,
Nick. So, what do you, what did you think of, can you remember seeing Ferris the first time, or what did you think of it?
No, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember watching it as a younger guy. I do, and now my wife and I were talking about this. It's changed a lot now that I'm an adult.
Yeah.
It takes on a different meaning for
me. Different meanings.
So, but yeah, I Yeah, I remember. I remember the song was, you know, that weird.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know who sings it.
Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah. 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 Chica, chica. Just remember, right? You know, Ferris Bueller was a he was a kind of a hero, right?
I mean, a little
that's,
bit.
That's
in that movie.
We wanted to live through that, right? We wanted to live vicariously through Ferris Bueller because yeah. he was doing all the things that we wanted to do.
He
skip
was
school
cool.
and drive a car and
yeah,
you know. So.
He I remember seeing it. I don't remember exactly when, but I was always jealous of his room. I'm like, it's like so.
Yes.
His room is so big, and I had that tiny little room I lived in, and I was like. Who gets a room that size? Although, to be fair, that house is amazing. So
okay, and that,
when you look at it from the outside, you're like, oh. No. By the way, that house, so this is in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
But that house wasn't in Illinois. It was in California.
Well, so, and I asked my wife.
Just
I said,
a front shot. So.
So go back to his bedroom, and he's got a lot of cool toys.
No, yeah, he's got everything.
And at one point, he says, you know, my parents got my sister a Fiero.
Yes.
And I got...
A computer,
right? Yeah. And so,
and nobody got computers in 1986.
No, so I wrote it down and I said, "What did his parents do?" And my wife goes, "Well, Dad was in advertising and Mom was real estate."
I think that's right.
And I was thinking, was that enough? Was that lucrative enough in 86 that you would have had been able to buy all that?
Well, when real estate, you always have to take into account you don't know what type of houses she's selling.
Oh,
she's selling high-end houses.
Yeah.
Her commissions are big. And I'm going to guess if Ferris's dad had an office as high up as he did,
that's true.
He's doing pretty well. So
downtown Chicago.
He's downtown Chicago. He's way up in that mm-hmm. high rise. Those are the good offices. He had a window office. I mean, and
that's
his
true.
Office was pretty big. I'm going to guess he's some sort of executive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's true.
So I think they're doing okay.
Yeah.
They're doing good enough. So, but yeah, so we jump into this movie. Obviously, it opens up. First time I think I saw fourth wall breaking, like where you talk to the audience.
That's a really good point.
So now it's pretty, you know, Deadpool, mm-hmm. all those movies do it, and lots of movies have done it since then. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time I remember seeing it mm-hmm. where they like talk to you and you're like, oh, I mm-hmm. guess we're part of this now.
Yeah, I was going to talk about this later, but I think this is a good because I think there's a theme for me. I'll talk more about it in a scene later in the movie. But the idea of this being a piece of art, like
okay.
I know it sounds kind of really dramatic and overthinking it.
Overthinking.
But the idea of like I'm also going to skip ahead a little bit. But in one of my favorite scenes, they're at the museum, and they're specifically at the Impressionist wing of that museum. So I started doing some digging about Impressionism, and this movie I think is meant to be like an impressionistic take on cinema. Because no, I do.
Yep.
Because that idea of like breaking the fourth wall, that was kind of different. The movie, even the way the movie goes is just kind of different than how most movies were. They're, you know, very formulaic, and this movie kind of broke a lot of formulas. And I think that there's an element of this movie that is intended to be kind of a piece of art. And I think that was intentional.
But. You always look at these movies so much more thoroughly than I do. I'm just watching him to see what he's going to do. And you've really put together this whole
thing. I have. I looked at this movie totally different now as a 46-year-old than I did. I mean, it's a great movie, and I think it's even better now as I watch it as an adult. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's way better than what I think people give it credit for.
Well, some fun stuff from the movie I found with my extensive internet research.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez turned down the role of Cameron. Yeah. So Alan Ruck wasn't their first choice, apparently. Alan Ruck got the audition in the part because Matthew Broderick recommended him because they had been on the stage version or the Broadway of Biloxi Blues.
Yeah.
So Broderick recommended him. But Alan Ruck was quite a bit older.
He was 30 years old.
Than a high schooler.
Yeah, he was 30 years old.
But in the 80s and 90s, nobody cared about that. Mm-mm. They're all older Mm-mm. all the time. Mm-mm. So, Alan Ruck's voice, speaking of Biloxi Blues, the impression he does, which he does twice, he does it as the dad for Sloan to get her out of school.
Oh,
and then he's the Sergeant Peterson at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That was his impersonation of the Biloxi Blues director. So they said he talked exactly like that. So that's where he came up with the voice. So Molly Ringwald wanted to be Sloane, called John Hughes and said she wanted that part.
And they didn't get
it. And being the fact that she'd been in all the other ones, he told her no because it wasn't big enough for her anymore. Yeah. So it was too small of a part for her. And she said she wanted it anyway. Still didn't get it. So
I'm so glad they didn't.
Yeah.
Because, would have been different. You know, if they would have done Emilio Estevez, if they would have done Ringwald, they'd already been in you know, Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink, and they'd done some other things.
But they, at the time, you're going on a quantity that you know is going to pay back for you.
So yeah, that's true.
From a studio standpoint, you're like, yeah, let's get those. Yeah. Everybody likes those kids, right? So Broderick and Jennifer Grey got engaged after the movie's release. This is the one I like. The actors who played Ferris's parents got married in real life, and they have two children.
Yeah.
So they are still, you know. They fell in love. So apparently everyone on the set of Ferris Bueller was falling in love.
That's right. So. Well, and didn't go back to Broderick and Gray. They were in a bad car wreck.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, so, either during or after. And it was I believe somebody died.
Oh.
It was bad. It was a bad deal.
Gosh, you always find a way.
Yeah. I know, bringing it down.
To bring down the vibe of the room. We're talking about a great comedic movie here. And you got to bring in the death, but that's okay.
I think this movie has a darker element than I do.
Of course you do. It's always got a dark element.
Let's
just have some fun with it. Right?
Okay.
Right. So for the parade scene, Broderick couldn't do the choreography on the float because he hurt his knee during.
That's right.
That's why he's just standing in one spot. Yeah. And that parade is an actual parade.
Yeah.
That it was called. They were celebrating Frederick von Steuben.
Yeah.
A Prussian-born baron who worked with General Washington during the Revolutionary War. So apparently it's a big thing in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But this was an actual parade. Now, it happens on a Saturday because it doesn't make sense that a parade's happening in the middle of the afternoon on a Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever this is supposed to be.
Oh, that's true.
But it is a school day. But they said a couple of the folks they showed dancing, the construction people, those were actual construction people. Yeah.
I can see that.
They were just dancing to the set or what was going on. And they
could see that.
They just left it in.
So. Well, and I had read that they called this movie a love letter to Chicago. It was John Hughes' love letter to Chicago. So the parade, Wrigley Field, Sears Tower.
Yeah, it's his.
You know, it's all the.
Yeah, he loves
the Hall's, you know, and then even the song, Donkashane.
Donkashane.
It comes up multiple times. Like Rooney is humming it while he's at the front door.
Rooney.
The sister is singing it at one point.
Oh, nice.
You know, at different. So, and I guess that was a song that John Hughes remembers somebody singing when he was growing up. And so that was a.
Speaking of the sister, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. It goes maybe unnoticed during the movie, but she's mad that he's skipping school all day.
Yeah.
She skips school all day to chase him around.
And actually.
So she literally, she's not at school either.
No.
She's there like first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And she just is going to beat those freshmen up because they're like asking about him. But other than that, she's like driving off campus. She's at the house. She's skipping school just as much as Ferris.
Well, that's, it's not in any of my selections, so I'm not giving too much away. But at the end when. Sheen's character and her character are in the police station, and the dialogue between them two is really good writing.
It is.
Where he finally goes, you know, like, so you're mad because he skipped and he didn't get caught.
Yeah.
She goes, basically, that's, you know, and
why don't you worry about yourself?
Yeah. And he goes, so the problem is you.
It's you.
And I was like, oh, that's so good. And whole movie, she's worried about everybody else, but she's doing the same stuff. Crabby at, you know, at the secretary. She's being a little brat. Well, and the secretary actually says, you know, oh, what a little asshole. That's my wife and I laughed at that.
We'll talk later, but I love the secretary.
Yeah.
She's so good. Yep. Edie Klug?
I don't know the actor.
Edie McClug, Klug or something like that.
Grace.
I love Grace.
Yeah. Grace.
Well, speaking of Sheen, he stayed awake for two days straight to look like he did in the police station.
I did read that.
Because he wanted to look like, you know, he's on drugs and homeless forever. So he said he literally was up for two. Now, knowing what we know of Charlie Sheen now, that's not that far-fetched.
Right.
But that was his first big kind of thing, you know, popping in.
I did watch this with my wife, but my daughter had come into the room right at that scene, and I had never noticed it before, but I was laughing. I rewound it because it was funny. he initiates a conversation with Jeannie.
Yeah.
And she fires back with, why don't you stick your thumb up your butt?
Yeah.
Well, he does this thing with his thumb. Uh-huh. If you watch it, he kind of sticks it out like, and then a couple lines later, she goes, why don't you blow yourself? And he kind of looks down at his junk like, I don't know if I could do that.
It was all improvised.
It was two very little subtle things that I'd never noticed before, but just the way she says, stick your thumb up your butt, and he does that little bloop.
She has some good one-liners in there. So she gets to zing a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
The raging case of herpes. The raging case. It was awesome.
Okay. Yeah. So then that takes us to one thing I did. I think we've discussed this before. This sounds like, you know, trait podcast talk, but
yeah.
There's the thing out there, and people is Ferris real, right?
Right.
So the theory is that this whole movie is actually a dream sequence of Cameron's, and so he knows Ferris from school. Ferris is a real person. He knows him, but they're not friends in this scenario. And so he's just in bed that day because he starts out. Obviously, he was skipping school too. He was staying home sick. So he's just imagining a day that he's never been able to have.
Right.
So a fun day with the coolest guy in school or one of the cool guys from school and his girlfriend. What would that day be like for Cameron, right?
Yeah.
Because Cameron's a homebody. He's kind of a loner. In this sequence, in the movie, they present it a little different. But so some people have put that all of what happens on this day doesn't actually happen. It's just Cameron imagining what it would be like to do all of these things because it's stuff he never does.
Yeah, I really like that theory. I like it a lot. The more I watch this, I think there's some absolute truth to that because there's a couple lines when Ferris Bueller's on the phone and he's trying to convince Cameron to get out.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I'm sick or I can't remember, you know. And Ferris Bueller says, it's all in your head.
Yeah.
And then later in the movie when they're getting ready to go to the parade, Cameron's having a talk with Sloan and he makes a comment. It's a really great quote and I didn't, but he basically says, Ferris can do anything.
Anything, yeah.
You know.
So he's through going to school with him, he's built up this idea of what Ferris is.
Yeah.
And so he's having this, and, you know, he's imagining Ferris has this great life with two loving parents because obviously his parents aren't very, they're detached.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they make comment that he lives in a museum.
Yeah.
You can't touch anything. It's very cold, all these things. And then at the end, of course, when he's kicking the car, who do you love? You love a car. Yeah. You don't love me. You love a car. So there's a whole sequence there that he's imagining Ferris's life as this. I've got two great parents. I've got this real good family. I'm popular. I'm all this. And Cameron's not those things.
No.
So.
Nope.
But we could just be overanalyzing.
We could.
Because John Hughes wrote this in less than a week. And it could just be Ferris is a slacker who's a great salesman and gets himself out of stuff and then gets you to think he's the smartest guy in the room. Right.
I do think. Okay. So I had read that the initial movie when it first came out. But, you know, when they did it with test audiences, it flopped.
Yeah.
People were like, I mean, it's cool. It's
cute.
They
weren't sure what it was.
Well, then they went back and they retooled it. And I just wonder if there wasn't some intentionality in creating kind of that feel. Because it does give you the sense of they really play off the two. Cameron and Ferris. And
I never thought of that when I was younger. I just assumed Ferris is a cool guy. But
that's exactly
as we grow, and the internet has grown with us, all the crazies have come out. So now you can read these Reddit trolls, these rabbit hole things. You go down to find out, and you're like, wow, maybe that's true. I mean, you can kind of convince yourself of anything if you go.
Yeah. No, I found one where they didn't compare it, but they used a Fight Club type comparison, and, you know, and I'm
Tyler,
like
Tyler Durden,
you know, I'm like, I could see that. I could totally see that. But
so, in that case, there wouldn't be a Ferris.
Right.
So I liked it. I like the theory that Ferris is in fact a real person, but they don't know each other because Ferris is too cool. And, he's just having this idea of what Ferris is. Like he's built it up walking around the hall, seeing him and all this, because that's something that could happen in high school.
You'd be like,
the popular kid, I wonder what he does every day after school. I wonder what his life is like. You know, he's got a new car and he does all these, you know, he's always got the new Jordans when they come out. I wonder what, he, you know, I wonder what his parents are like. Or so you kind of build up this, I wonder what that is thing.
So. Yeah. I liked, and I do think, you know, whether or not Ferris Bueller is real or not, or a figment of, you know, or he's just imagining it, whatever. The idea that really, and we can get more into it later, is that Ferris does, the kids, all of, well, mainly Cameron and Ferris, they do change. You know, they have they have this change arc. Where
does Ferris change?
I do. I'm going to make an argument that he changes, but
I almost think him getting away with it again at the end is just going to revert him into what he was doing. Yeah,
but I think, you could question his authenticity, but that scene in the after the car's already gone through the glass.
Yeah,
and Cameron's like, I'm going to take it. Yeah. And Ferris tries to say, no, let me take it. Yeah. You don't want this heat. Now, whether or not he was being genuine and would really have taken it, I don't know.
Well, but knowing Ferris, he would have come up with some story.
That's right.
That's what would really happen.
He would have gotten out of it somehow.
The idea of that scene is Cameron's going to stand up for himself because apparently he hasn't been doing that.
Yes. So, right? I think right there you see the change, right, where Cameron kind of learns to stand up for himself.
I think Cameron changes. I just don't know if Ferris changes.
I know. That's
because if Ferris gets home and then even after his sister bails him out, which she'd never done, and then all that – I mean, he wasn't overly appreciative. He went upstairs and he still played off. The mom comes in and he's like, oh, I slept all day and da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think him getting away with it scot-free somewhat encourages future actions. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he changes. I don't know if I agree with that.
No.
I agree Cameron changes. Yeah. Sloane's the same. She doesn't do.
I mean, and I'm with you on that. I'm doubtful.
Yeah.
I'm doubtful.
Because he's just too smooth and gets away with this stuff so often. What consequence does he think about? Right?
That's right.
He doesn't.
Yep.
And it should have gone haywire, but it didn't, and he still got away with it. I mean, he should have been caught like 13 times during the day, but he did.
Well, that was the thing that was driving my wife nuts because my wife's very logical and things just had, you know. And she was like, how many times Bueller would, you know, he was inches from the car and the dad didn't see him and he's able to duck and, you know,
they do a good job of making the dad seem completely oblivious.
All the parents
completely to everything oblivious. Around him.
Yeah.
The mom seems, well, the mom's got the typical, with Jeannie being the older child, very hard on her.
Yeah.
Ferris can do no wrong, which is part of drives as an older child. I can somewhat understand this plight.
Yeah.
And
there's some truth to it.
There's truth to it. So there could be frustration from, so I understand a little of Jeannie's thing is, you know, if that was me, like as soon as she picks her up at the police station, which bad example, but, you know, mom's immediately, she thinks the worst thing. She doesn't even ask questions, none of those things. So Jeannie can do not wrong and get in trouble a lot. And then Ferris, he does nothing wrong. He's great. He's a beautiful child. Mm-hmm. They're sending him flowers, soup, everything like that.
So. No, that's true.
So that's why I don't know that Ferris changes very much. So
yeah, that's going to be a hard argument.
Did you ever find yourself in the shower making the spike with the shampoo while you were singing?
Yes, absolutely. And
I don't think I had enough hair to ever do it that much, but...
And you can find where that scene or something similar has been recreated in other movies.
Yeah.
And so it's become just a cultural,
thing. Scene. But right. Anyway. So, yeah. But I like the undertone of all of this, that the entire city is apparently concerned that Ferris is dying.
Yeah.
I don't know how that got out so quick.
Yeah.
But like the freshmen were like, I hope he lives. And then the police, he's getting flowers from like a local hospital. Yeah. I mean, he's getting all these things.
Well, even that, back to that scene with Jeannie and, which his name is Garth, Volbeck, Sheen's character.
I didn't even know he had a name.
Yeah, he has. And, well, I'm just going to say it. The one Rooney's car is getting towed.
Yeah.
It's Volbeck towing.
Oh.
And in an uncut version of this movie, I thought it was going to mention it in the version that I watched, but she's selling a house to the Volbeck family.
Yeah.
And so there's this whole storyline.
So is he the black sheep child of the family?
Yeah, that this is a new family moving to town or whatever. But yeah, they own the towing company.
Nice.
But in that conversation, he ends it by, you know, she's, you know, bemoaning her brother, and he goes, you know, you need to go talk to, I know somebody you need to go talk to.
Yeah.
And she says, if you say my brother.
Yeah.
Or if you say Ferris Bueller, he goes, oh, you know him?
You lose a testicle.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, you know him?
You know him? Yeah. Her face.
Yeah.
So I do like, though, afterwards she's going down the steps. It's so.
Oh, yeah.
She does a great job of the high school girl. she's walking and then she trips, so she laughs and then she rolls her eyes because her mom's like, so
I do think that's the acting in this movie is good.
It's good.
It's really good. Yeah. I mean, it is really
but
good.
But all that reinforces the whole genie scene with Charlie Sheen is, if you're the terrible bad boy loser, apparently the hot girls are all going to fall all over you because she just can't get over the fact of how great he is.
Yeah.
Because when he goes drugs and she's like, no.
No.
And he's like, no, are you in here for drugs? And so, it's, and the, her resting bitch face is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's probably, and her like side eye.
Oh, yeah.
She, some of the best I've ever seen in a movie. Yeah. Like she looks like, now she's looking good in this movie. I always was a fan of Jeannie Buehler. Like, I don't care how upset she is. I kind of like that she's a little bitchy and crazy, actually. Yeah. So,
a scene that I giggle at, I don't know why it's so funny, is when they're in the high school and the guy's going, save Ferris, and he's got the little can of change.
Yeah.
And she pops that thing out of his hand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she does it from behind, up above or below, and shoots that can into the air. And she just does it
She's great. She does. Yeah, she does a good job.
But my wife and I were laughing when she goes into the office to talk to Rooney.
Yeah.
And the secretary doesn't even say hello. She just says, "Oh, hello, Jeannie.
Yeah.
Who's bothering you today?
Who's bothering you today? They already know. She's
and
there.
I was like, she's been there. Like that's and I was like, we have students like that just every day somebody is bothering them. And I'm like, I know that kid, but she's just so dry. Jeannie.
Hello, Jeannie.
Who's bothering you today?
Yeah. I thought sometimes I think Sloan is an interesting character.
Yeah.
I imagine her parents are like hippies or something because she's got this kind of free spirit about her.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she said, Cameron, did you see me undress? And he's like, doesn't say anything, but she knows he did. And she goes,
she's cool with it.
She goes, it's fine. I don't care. Just like, I don't know. She seems like she's a pretty free spirit.
Yeah.
So I imagine when she gets to college, she's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
A free spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I got some vibes that her and Cameron, like, could have, like, he likes her and maybe that.
See, I don't see that that way. I saw it as she likes him to help take care of him, not, like, in an attractive manner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it that way.
And I think she likes the bad boy. She likes Ferris.
Yeah, yeah. He's slick. He does all these cool things. Look. How attractive is it that he gets her out of school? I mean, he could do whatever he wants at that point. So, but Sloan, she's good looking too, though. She was hot as well. Mm-hmm. So, can't be mad about that.
No.
I don't know about the beret in the movie. I'm not a big fan of the beret. For all the cool things Ferris is, the beret was an odd choice. Because I lived in 1986. I don't remember a lot of people wearing berets.
Unless you're in the Boy Scouts.
But when I watch Uncle Buck. I did wear a beret in the Boy Scouts as well. But when I watch Uncle Buck, a bunch of dudes are wearing berets in that movie too. So in the Midwest, because we didn't live in the Midwest. No. But maybe in the Midwest in the late 80s, maybe berets were a hot thing.
Oh, this is a good Midwest question.
I don't know.
Man, because one of the things my wife and I noticed is that Rooney's title is dean of students.
Yeah. He's a principal.
Well, so, you know, out in our neck of the woods.
Or is it a private school?
Well, see, in our neck of the woods, a dean of students is not a principal per se.
Okay.
And actually, a dean of students, you don't really even need your administrative credentials. So
okay.
We watch that going, oh, so he's not even the principal.
I think the intent they give us is he's running the school.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got.
Maybe if it's a private school, they call it a dean of students.
I don't know.
And if you're a public high school, I don't know.
I don't know.
Speaking of the school, same school that was in The Breakfast Club.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
The exterior shots, same shots that they used for that.
Oh.
Another fun fact, the Ferrari they're driving.
Yeah.
Not a real Ferrari.
I did read that.
Because that would be crazy. They said that they had to use replicas.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the replicas still sold after the movie or a couple years later, $235,000 for a replica.
Wow.
That. So, but the real car is quite rare and is not something that the studio was ready to let Matthew Broderick and company drive around.
Did you, when you had your research team doing their research?
Yes.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't do any of this. They just bring it to
me. That's right.
Yes,
and then typed up. The license plates?
The license plates.
Did you read anything about that?
I didn't read anything that so, grabbed my attention.
Okay, so the Ferrari's license plate is Nervous.
Yes.
N-R-V-O-U-S. Mom's car's license plate.
That's right.
Is V-C-T-N, vacation.
Vacation. And then the dad's car doesn't say mom?
It says M-M, so M-M-O-M, Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom.
The sister's car is TBC, the Breakfast Club.
Oh, wow.
Rooney's license is 4FBDO, 4 Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I didn't get all those.
Yeah.
So and I'm usually the research person here.
Yeah. So a little shout out.
I am proud of you because usually you come to the table a little half-cocked, but today you are full.
I believe it was your wife.
Great information.
That used the analogy of putting names on a board.
Yes.
And throwing a dart.
Throwing a dart.
Yes.
And that's what.
So she's not wrong.
The first couple times we did.
100% wrong.
The first couple times we did song lists, that's how she felt you were choosing songs. I'll just list all the songs.
I shook up all the names and then I just picked 10 names.
Draw out of a hat. No. These are now the ones that I picked.
She's not completely wrong. There might be some truth there.
But. Well, before we jump into categories, you got anything else?
No, I'm just looking over here. Yeah, a lot of things we've already talked about.
Yeah.
Why did Jeannie? Okay.
Yeah.
She says, "Hi, my name. You know, my name's Jeannie, but they call me Shauna."
Yeah. I think.
What does that mean?
I don't think it meant anything. I think I've always just made my own determination on that because I couldn't find anything. She is thinking that sounds more like exotic or like Jeannie's too basic.
Okay.
Like it's a silly name or something. So that's all I could come up with.
She really went left field. Like she pulled out a total like.
Yeah, like she wants to be complete. She wants to be disassociated with
Jeannie.
With Jeannie, yeah. She doesn't like that. She doesn't like that name.
The other thing I have here is at the end, Sloan and when Bueller's getting ready to run,
yeah,
go back to beat his parents back home.
He's in great shape, by the way.
He's
a great runner. He was doing parkour. Right? Yeah. I think he invented parkour. Right.
Well, that whole running scene with my wife again, who's very logical, is going, "Oh my gosh!" But like when
we can say he invented parkour. Yeah,
when he runs past the girls and they're tanning.
Yes,
they're in the shade, and she's like,
"I got that."
Why are they in the shade?
I still like that he took time to walk back and like give him his business card or something.
But,
hi, I'm Ferris Bueller.
Yes, but right before he bolts, she says, "You knew what you were going to do this morning," and I took that as did that mean that he did this day just for Cameron?
Yeah, that's the other theory.
That was his whole intent, was just to get Cameron up and out.
Out of his comfort zone, make Cameron do something he didn't want to do.
Okay.
That's the other theory. If Ferris is real, he's doing it for Cameron. However, that's rough for me because, again, I think Ferris is pretty narcissistic and cares only about Ferris. So it would be tough for me because even when he's trying to get Cameron out, he's smacking him on the head.
Yeah.
He's doing all these things. He doesn't treat Cameron very well.
No.
You know, he calls his car a piece of crap.
Yeah.
He goes, I mean, I don't even have a piece of crap.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's very passive aggressive towards Cameron most of the day. Right?
Yeah.
So
okay.
Cameron makes good quotes of, hey, if you don't want me to, if you don't like the way I do these harebrained schemes of yours, then do them yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So, all right. Well, life's moving pretty fast, but we're going to slow it up just a little bit and take a look at our favorite parts of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So, Rob, we're going to jump into our first category, and our first category should be very easy. It is your favorite main character.
See, you say it's going to be easy.
Easy.
But
yes.
Anyway, my favorite main character is not Ferris Bueller.
Of course it's not.
No.
Well, mine's not Ferris Bueller either.
Okay, good.
So
it's Cameron Fry.
I knew it was Cameron.
Okay.
I told my wife that you were going to pick Cameron because you're Cameron.
Yes.
Yes.
And here's a great quote. It says, Hughes could have simply cast him as a straight man for Ferris. But he does something far more compelling. He renders the pair as a psychological dyad. Ferris is fearless, larger than life. He has internalized the unconditional love of his parents and skips through the days in a self-assured reverie. He is what every teenager or teenage guy dreams of being, a raging narcissistic id who gets away with it. Cameron is an actual teenager, alienated from his parents, painfully insecure, angry, and depressed.
Uh-huh.
And I think that...
That's why you pick him?
I do, because I think more people
relate to Cameron.
I think more of us are Cameron than we are Ferris. Yeah. When we really get down to it, we act like we're...
You know, I can do the noise. I've always been able to do the noise that Cameron does. Oh, the drop. The yeah. I've always been able to do it.
Yeah. So. No, I
by the way, you don't have to hit your cheek to make that happen. No. I used to do it all the time, hitting the cheek like he did, but you can just make the noise. So, but it's good for show on the movie. But I always like the Cameron, call it the Cameron drip. Nowadays, that would mean the kids, if it was the Cameron drip, that means he wore good clothes and shoes, and he didn't do all of that. So, yeah. We'll just call it the Cameron drip from back in the day.
Yeah,
with the noise.
No, and that was at the game. He was at the stock trading. Exchange. Yeah,
yeah. They're watching the stock, which I have questions about that too. Yeah. So, all right. So, Cameron, of course.
I think for me,
yeah,
I would make the argument that he is the main character.
Oh, okay.
So
you think it should be Cameron Fry's day off? We can't call John Hughes because he passed away.
That's true.
I guess we could call Matthew Broderick and see if they'd be able to retroactively.
Yeah.
Alan Ruck could probably be happy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he'd get more money.
But so. If he's 30 then, man, he's got to be 110.
He's still alive, though. He's doing good. Well, my favorite main character is Jeannie Buehler.
Wow.
I love Jeannie.
Yeah.
So
my wife, that would have been her pick. Yep.
She's at that age. She's hot. I can't. That was my first qualifying thing for her. She's got to be hot. And she is. I love her whole outfit she's wearing. Mm-hmm. It's very 80s. She's got these like the little suspender things happening. But her sarcasm.
Yeah.
Her looks.
Yeah.
Her everything. The way she's chewing gum. It just looks angry. There's something about her. I like her. And again, as an older child, because I'm the oldest, she's the oldest, I can understand some of her feelings about why did they get to get away with everything? Mm-hmm. I'm in charge of this or I'm responsible for that. So there's a little bit of Jeannie's plight that I understand. She doesn't go about it all the best ways, but I can get some of her her anger towards Ferris. But yeah, she's just, I just think. She's obviously not as prominent as the rest of them, but for the main parts that I see her in, I think she's funny. I think, and again, the looks on her face, just her nonverbals are great. So I think she's fantastic. Yeah. So for me, it's Jeannie Buehler. It's always been Jeannie Buehler. You could have called it Jeannie Buehler's day off because she's not going to school either. And I would have been just as happy. So, but that takes us to our second category, which is favorite supporting character. So. And I went with who you've already mentioned. Mr. Rooney's Secretary Grace.
Yes, I did too.
She's not in this very much, but she is so funny.
she's got some
taking
of the best.
The pencils out of her hair, her lines that she has.
Yes.
I love when she's supposed to be Rooney on the phone. She just goes, oh. Like, it's so good. Like, because apparently her impersonation of him is just groaning. Grace! He just keeps yelling for it.
One of my favorite lines she says to him is when he goes, and you know she's doing it on purpose, but where he goes, I wouldn't trust him farther than I could throw him. Yeah. And she says, well, with your bad knee, Ed, you shouldn't throw anybody.
I like when she's egging him on. She goes, you sounded like Dirty Harry just there.
He goes, oh, really?
Really? So.
Or where she says something about how, they make you look like an ass.
That's what they do. And he just gives her this look. So.
Thanks,
you can tell she's the actual, and you work in administration. She's the heartbeat of that office.
I tell people all the time.
If it wasn't for her, Rooney wouldn't get anywhere in life. So.
Well, and I think that's one thing John Hughes did a really good job at. When you talk adolescence and high school, and he was a master at pulling out the truth, I think, in life. So like in The Breakfast Club, when the janitor... You know, the janitor has a very prominent role.
He does.
And I think in schools, it's secretaries, it's bus drivers, it's the janitors.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones that run that building.
Yeah.
If we don't have buses, we don't go to school. Schools don't shut down because of when it's a snow day.
No.
Because of the superintendent's decision. It's transportation is saying, we can't get the buses through. We're shutting down.
But a lot of times, too, teachers and administrators come and go. But people like Grace will be there for 30 years.
Yeah.
So they've seen all the turnover.
Janitors retire after 35, 40 years. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Grace, she's awesome. She's probably the funniest person in the movie, if I'm honest. Yeah, everybody else has a couple lines here and there, but she's like every – she's probably only got, what, 5-6 minutes of screen time. And it's hilarious the whole time. So the pencils out of the hair thing,
they just keep coming.
She improvised that. Mm-hmm. They just turned the thing on and she just started playing with them. Like, and it gives you that impression that she's just lost them over the years and she's finding them. So, but all right. Well, our third category, this is a tough one because there's lots of candidates here, but favorite quote from the movie.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot, but the one that I was just laughing at is at the end. Ferris has finished running. He's getting into the house. The mom pulls in the driveway, and the dad pulls in the driveway, and the dad, Tom, says, what's wrong? Dad. And the mom says, everything.
Everything.
I just picked up Katie from the police station.
Jeannie?
She got a speeding ticket, another speeding ticket, and I lost the Vermont deal because of her. And the dad just goes, I think we should shoot her.
So funny. Now, you talked earlier about what kind of real... She's doing real estate in Indiana or Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
This is Vermont. The Vermont deal, so she's at a big company, that's obviously.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, just
dead. I don't know what the Vermont deal is, but either they're trying to sell property there or someone in Vermont's trying to get property in Illinois. Yeah,
I don't know. But his deadpan reply, I think we should shoot her.
His whole thing, like, make some soup, buddy. Oh, do this, buddy. Like, that guy is as clueless as possible. Yeah, no. Like, he's probably great at his job, but on day to day around the house, he's just clueless.
Yeah,
take care of yourself, big guy.
When Sloan was kind of making eyes at him at the car, and he was getting right into it.
I would have made eyes back at Sloan too, right? So I wouldn't act on anything, but if she smiled, I'm going to smile back. I mean, Sloan. Now she did go psycho after that. She looked like she was possessed, and I don't know what Ferris is doing. But I
don't know.
As I'm older, I'm guessing what Ferris is doing.
Your mind goes a lot of places.
So, well, my favorite quote comes from my favorite main character, and that's Jeannie. She had lots of great quotes. But this was, I remember as a kid, I just loved this one. I thought it was hilarious. She's, Rooney has come in the house, and she calls the police.
Yes.
So I can't deliver this like Jennifer Grey, so I apologize if you're listening, Jennifer, but I will do the best that I can. So she says, look, it's real nice that you hope my brother is feeling better, but I'm in danger, okay? I am very cute, I am very alone, and I'm very protective of my body. I do not want it violated or killed, all right? I need help. Speak it in English, dickhead. And she hangs up the phone.
Well, then she smashes the phone.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
But I will say the first five times I saw this movie, the thing I always remembered is I'm very cute, I'm very alone, and I'm very protective of my body. I don't know why. I just always remember that quote. I love it. It's funny. The fact that the cops are like, she's like telling them someone's broken into her house, and she's a teenage girl, and they're like, oh, we hope your brother's okay. And she's like, you...
Yeah.
Assholes. I'm trying.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here. So,
well, that's right after. I love that quote. And then right after that is when she says that. She calls down on the intercom and says, basically.
Oh, no. I have it. It says, I'd also like to add. Because she says, whoever's in the house, I've called the police.
Yes.
So I would leave. I'd also like to add that I have my father's gun and a scorching case of herpes. So it's great. Yeah. It's interesting how toss away and funny they're making potential sexual assault there, but at least they made it funny, right? So,
well, the other line that my wife and I were out to dinner last night, and we were watching these two people. We were eating outside, and we watched these two people waiting to come to the restaurant, and my wife makes a comment. She just goes, oh, so that's how they are in their family, because it was a was a girl, and I was like, what are you talking about? And I look back, and so then I was going, the whole, do you have a kiss for daddy?
Oh, that's a rough one, right? It's definitely a quote, but it's a weird quote, right?
It's weird,
And Rooney brushes that off a little too easy.
Yeah. He's another one that's
supposed
oblivious.
To be her,
like, he's like, you wouldn't have picked up on that?
Yeah. That's supposed to be her dad, and they're making out before they're in the car. Doesn't he say something like, oh, so that's how they do it in that family, right?
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a weird quote. Well, a couple others I saw, you probably have some. You said it before, the pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Yeah.
That's
pardon
a good one.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
And the Ferris Bueller, you're my hero. That's a classic. I do like another Jeannie quote. Well, he calls her mom's office. Well, do you know where she is? Do you know when she'll be back? do you know anything? And then she just hangs up the phone. That's, and I'm like, you know that that office knows Jeannie and is like,
absolutely.
They don't want her calling ever again.
Okay, so this isn't a quote, but there's the part where he's on the porch. Rooney's on the porch of the house, and the florist has just stopped by to drop off. Oh,
yeah, it's great.
And the guy does the shaving and haircut of the horn. Yep. Dun, 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 and then Rooney gives two middle fingers.
And I just, also like...
It reminds me of something my dad would have done. I don't know why.
I also like when Jeannie answers the door and that singing nurse is there. And she says something about his pluck, because I'm the nurse that likes to... She slams the door in her face. So, did you see who was... well, we'll talk about that later. But, and then I, you know... couple Ferris ones. He said, if I'm gonna get busted, it's not gonna be by a guy like that. When they're at the restaurant, I like the it's just too nice a day. How could I possibly expect it to go to school on a day like today or something like that? So
that one where he said, he goes, Rooney goes, it's about having his he's not gonna leave my cheese in the wind.
Yeah. What?
What does that even mean? But and then at the very end, one thing I thought was really funny is that when he sits next to that girl on the bus and she says, I bet you've never smelled a real school bus before.
I know.
And then she goes, gummy bear? Gummy They've bear? Been in my pocket. They're nice and warm. And he takes it and flicks it.
I was like, I like the, well, the bus driver knew him.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mr. Rooney.
Mr. Rooney.
And he gets on, though. Would you like a ride?
Would you like a ride? Yeah. So, all right. Well, lots of good quotes. We probably didn't get them all, but category 4, favorite scene or event in the movie. So for me, I love and I've always loved that prank phone call with Cameron when they're trying to get Sloan out of school. I love his fake voice. He uses it later as a cop. But when he's just on there, he's like, Rooney! And then he's like, excuse me, pardon my French, but you're an asshole. And then because it's funny when Rooney's like, this is Ferris, so he knows. And then when they hook up the other line to call, and now Rooney understands that it actually is. Because Rooney says, like, yeah, just wheel her old dead bones down here, and I'll get Sloan out of class. And then he's like,
produce a corpse.
Excuse me? Yeah, produce a corpse, and we'll deal with it. So I love that whole prank phone call scene. I just thought Cameron was funny. The whole thing's funny. Rooney on the other end. And again, Grace just doing the...
when they're running
back and forth. Yeah. Those two running back and forth to the different phones is hilarious. So
that's funny.
So that's my favorite scene or event of the movie, which is crazy because there's so many good ones.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that one.
Well, I initially went with the museum scene. I just really thought, I think that's just really good. But then I'm picking a scene that's kind of, it's a very short scene, but it's the scene where Ferris has convinced Cameron to leave.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets out and he gets in his car and he's like, he's going to keep calling.
He's going to keep calling me.
And he just keeps like, but I found this really great quote and it just says, this sequence lasts barely a minute.
Yeah.
It is an astonishing piece of physical humor because he gets in, he gets out, he's banging. I mean, but it's an emotional ballet worthy of Chaplin, which is a lot to say. Hell, it's one of the best pieces of acting I've ever seen, period. Because it's not just funny. It's heartbreaking. We are watching a kid utterly crippled by his own conflicted impulses, torn between outrage and obedience. And I had never watched it through that lens. And then when I watched it again, I was like, it is really good. Yeah. And it's funny, but at the same time, you feel bad for him. And I just thought
it's really good.
It's a really cool scene. But he says something. I'll go. And then he gets out.
Keep calling
he
goes, me.
That's it. I'm not going.
Keep calling me. So, that's a good one. Good scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like when they steal the Ferrari and drive around all day, too, the valets.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
Well,
it's just like, get
that,
in.
That scene opens so awkwardly. They're gone
the whole time, right?
Do you speak English? Yeah. And he goes, what country do you think this is?
A little rough in that language, they're gone the whole time. Their boss doesn't notice they're not there parking cars the entire time. I mean,
well, then I wondered because at the end they high five each other and they go, "Oh, we're gonna have to do this again." I wondered, do they even work there?
They just take a car for the day.
Like they just were happened to be there, and they
just assumed.
Yeah,
yeah. But there you go.
But they had like logos on their
they did.
Coats and stuff. So like, well, maybe
maybe they've done a good job setting themselves up. So. Yeah. Well, that takes us to our best location in the film, a category apparently you did not enjoy.
No, I struggle with that.
I did not. My favorite place in the whole film, Wrigley Field. And the reason the reason I picked Wrigley Field is as a kid, you and I both know
WGN.
In Oregon, WGN and TBS played Cubs and Braves games. So I watched Cubs games all the time at home, and Wrigley was always the place. I got to watch Harry Carey do the seventh inning. A one, a two, a three. You know, so just being I've never been to Wrigley Field, but I thought it would always be cool to go to a baseball game there. So now, do I think they have time to watch a whole baseball game in this afternoon? Of course I don't. But it's cool that they went, and that would be – and had pretty good seats down the third baseline. So.
Well, and I read somewhere there's a – there's websites dedicated to trying to decide what game they were at.
Yeah.
It gets so stupid. But then I saw they have a little bit of
I think they're playing – I think I've seen a couple.
There's a little bit of a continuity error because when they're in the restaurant
–
the game that's playing on the TV, there it's the Cubs and the Braves.
Yeah.
But then the game that they're at is the Cubs and the Expos.
Yeah. And
so there's a little bit of a.
When Rooney sees that TV at the pizza place, it's a different game, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's like, who's winning? And then and the guy's like, it's 0-0. Or he goes,
oh, that's.
What's the score? 0-0. Who's winning?
He just like, the Bears.
Not even paying attention.
He says the Bears.
So. Yep. Wrigley Field for me.
So I actually had that one down for a while and then I pulled it. But, no, I'm going to go with the museum.
Yeah, you love the museum.
I just really liked that
well
scene.
Well established.
Yes, and it a lot of people, there's writings.
You're just too smart for all the other dumb places they went.
No, I just really liked it because I thought it was really artistic and the music. Even the music, they took I think it was the Smiths.
Oh, yeah.
They took a Smith song and they slowed it down and made a different version of it. And I just thought... That whole idea of it being like this impressionistic movie that they'd gotten away from, like in art, they talk about realism versus impressionism, and I think this was, and it's got a really great scene where he looks into that painting, where Cameron is looking into the eyes, and there's all kinds of write ups on what that painting means and how it relates to Cameron's life, and
I thought
that was kind of the turning point for Cameron. So
I thought you were going to go with the parade.
My other one was the garage.
The dunk, the garage. See, you want all the emotional stuff.
I thought, specifically the garage at the end.
Of course.
Yeah, when they're sitting.
That's when you kick the car and have the moment.
Because even in the museum.
Yeah, I know he stares into that painting.
I know, but even the art that they showed, I started looking at some of the art that they showed.
Yeah.
It's like husband and wife themes, child and mom. Like it was very intentional what art they picked. And nice. So I just thought I liked the museum. Right. So,
Great locations throughout the whole movie. Yeah, Chicago looks fun.
Yeah.
Looks like a good place. Maybe I'll visit someday. Well, not sure, but it looks like you could, I don't know as a 16 or 17 year old, those were all the things I would have done, but Ferris had a different agenda, so that's fine. All right, category six, favorite vehicle. Lots of things being driven around in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
gosh, I did. I'm gonna go way off.
Way off
the. And I'm the going. Grid. I'm gonna go with the 1968 Ford N950.
Okay.
Wrecker, driven by the Volbeck family.
So you went with the tow truck.
Yeah, it's a cool. Right. I like it. Because all the other ones are dumb.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. What'd you pick? You probably picked the Ferrari.
No, that's too easy. I wouldn't take Ferrari.
What'd you pick?
With my theme of Jeannie Bueller, I took her white Fiero.
You did?
I just, in the late 80s, that looked like a cool sports car that you might be able to actually get. It looks small. But I imagine myself getting driven around by Jeannie and yelled at a little bit, and that sounds good.
Yeah.
Right? So there's something I think there would have been when I was younger, there's something cool about Jeannie kind of, yelling at me while driving me around the Fiero and telling me to shut up. I don't know. That might have been good. Maybe I have some repressed weirdness there.
I will list here. So,
but I like the white Fiero.
Yeah. Ferris's mom drives a 1985 Audi 5000. Ferris's dad drives a 1985 Chrysler Town and Country. Ferris's sister drives
with wood panels, by the way.
It was awesome. It was
something.
It was like a little mini. But anyway, Jeannie drives an 85 Pontiac Fiero. Ed Rooney drives a 1985
K-car.
Plymouth Reliant yep. SE.
They call it the K-car.
And I actually, when I worked at Frizzini's Pizza in Ellensburg during college, that was what they used.
Well, those cars also
used to deliver pizza.
Those were mass produced for a time. The military used them as government cars.
Oh,
so they would just be painted one color, have the government plates on it, and they were prominent government cars. Yeah. So,
Then you talked about the Ferrari being the other the one Ferrari. That I thought about would have been another was the school bus.
Yes, I imagine with how you evaluate this, the school bus would have been an option.
Because so. I think that was a pivotal moment in the movie.
I don't. It's after the credits. I think he's just getting on a bus. But yes, you tie well, something to that.
Because the line of, I bet you've never been on a school or you've never smelled a real school bus before. I think that, again, plays into John Hughes, how he does the whole adolescence thing where a lot of times we as adults, we can't relate to what kids are going through. And it's true in education. A lot of times, we as the adults don't ride the buses. We don't realize how long of a bus drive that is.
So in the 80s, I think that's very relevant. But talking to my wife now and talking to your wife and all our other people we know that are teachers, they have to go to the school buses every day. So to drop kids off, pick kids up, do all that. So when we went to school, no one came to the school buses.
No.
When we left the teacher's class, guess what? They were like, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Oh, yeah.
You found your way to the school bus. You either went to the school bus or you walked home. Those were your two options. Or rode a bike. I mean, you could ride a bike.
Yeah.
Too, so.
No, it's true.
Yeah. So there were no teachers waiting by buses when I came to school when I was a kid. It was they were waiting in the classroom. Get your butt in your seats. Time for the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's go.
So, true.
All right. Well, category 7, least favorite character. And this might be tough for you because you love everyone in this movie.
No.
And if you come up with...
okay, go I know for who it. You're what were you going to say?
Nothing.
You know what?
Are you gonna, you're going to pick something stupid like the guy who's the cook at the pizza parlor or something like that.
It's going
to
be even more controversial.
Well, I'm going to get mine first because mine's really controversial. Yeah. And mine is Mr. Rooney.
Oh, okay.
I literally think if you took Rooney out of this movie... let's say you do just the call part and that's it.
Yeah.
I don't understand the rest of his role. If you took him out, does it matter to the movie? I don't think it does. Because he doesn't interact with Ferris other than that phone call and all that. But
that is true. I read that they at no time ever interact in real life.
No, they just have the phone call. So, I mean, he has that little interaction with Jeannie at the end, but you are an administrator. He's an administrator. Are you just leaving for one kid your school the entire day? Mm-hmm. No, Rob, you're not. He just says, oh, this kid, I got to go catch this kid. No principal cares about one kid skipping school. Guess what? We mark it down. We'll suspend him or put him in detention when he comes back to school. That's it. This dude's at pizza parlors. He's grabbing random girls. He's breaking into houses.
Yeah.
He could have killed their dog. So that's not
I wrote that good. Down. Did he kill their dog?
Well, it woke up again later.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's true.
So he could have done that. He, parking illegally. He stole stuff from their front porch.
What did he say about the dog? He goes, sweet dreams.
Yeah. Poochie. I forget what he says. Little fucker or something. But the point, a little The point is I just think if you were to extract him from this movie, had him and Ferris run into each other or there had been some conflict later, but literally none of that happens. So you just get these cut shots of Rooney running around. And he's not even really that funny. I mean, it's not. So he's my least favorite character because if you took him out of the movie, is the movie any different? You could have done everything you did with Grace, and she's at least funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a small part. So I'll give the phone call at the beginning. If you want to do the administrative phone call,
it's a good.
But him calling his mom and him chasing him down and him doing all that, I just don't see as realistic anyway. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Rooney, least favorite character. And he's not that funny. So
he's not that funny. I think he's important. Okay. I think, I could see him being.
Because you're a principal, so you think he's a key.
No, to this movie. I think he's key because I think he has to be in there because I think he represents the. This movie is all about adolescence.
But interaction.
He's constantly after Ferris, and I think that is that's how a lot of adolescents feel. They feel like the adults are just out to keep him
down. I don't think he's after Ferris. I think he's just screwing around all day. He doesn't want to be at work. You can relate to that, right? So,
yeah.
He just wanted to get off. He wanted a day off, too. Let's just examine. Jeannie didn't go to school. Ferris didn't go to school.
Nobody's at school.
Rooney's not working today, apparently. No. He's just wandering around. So a lot of people are this is a day off for everyone, apparently. Mm-hmm. Ferris ignited a day off for the whole community. So,
Yeah, Rooney needs to take Garth Volbeck's advice. You know, like, worry about
worry about yourself.
Worry about you.
Yeah,
putting Rooney, a lot of energy.
How many other kids are in that school, right? And he's gone for the whole day chasing one kid.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go controversial. My least favorite character is Ferris Bueller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard that. I've seen that on Reddit boards and stuff before, too.
He's a jerk.
A little bit.
He's an absolute jerk.
A little bit.
He's selfish.
Yes.
He's not nice. You said it. He's not nice to Cameron. He kicks him. He hits him. He belittles him. He uses him for his car. Yes, Cameron could have said no.
But he knows Cameron's not going to say no.
But he knows that Cameron's not going to say no.
He gets Cameron to do the phone call instead of him.
Yeah. Ferris Bueller, even one point, goes, you can never go too far.
Yeah.
He has pride issues. He isn't going to get beat by a guy like that.
I will say.
You know, he's manipulative, entitled.
I will say does show a little bit of genuine concern when Cameron might be dead after drowning.
Yeah.
There's a moment there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's more because he'll get caught or if Cameron's dying.
Right.
But he does show some genuine concern there. But yeah, no, there's no failed argument there. It's not controversial.
Yeah.
It's easy to hate Ferris Bueller, and he gets away with everything, as we said. And there's no reprisal for anything he does on the day. Right. No. So, you know,
And you changed my mind because I thought maybe he had kind of turned, you know, he was really sacrificing himself at the end there, saying, "Hey, I'll take the heat, Cameron." And I think
he knew Cameron was gonna.
Yeah,
that's one of those gestures that you're knowing you're not gonna be taken on.
But even if he would have taken the heat, I think you're right. He would have found a way to get out
to out of it. Someone broke in. Somebody did this. They would have come up with a story. It wouldn't have been that. Oh, I took your car out today.
Yeah.
No. So
true.
So, all right. Not controversial, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting you to come in with like that host at the restaurant or the Bueller guy or some nonsense like that. So.
Or Barb Hummel.
Barb Hummel, yeah. She would be a least favorite character. Absolutely. So for those of you that don't know, throwback to our Rock episode when we were caged in. So highly recommend you go listen to that. So that takes us to our least believable event in the movie. So I got a good one.
Go for it.
Because I'm very practical about this, since your wife likes to be practical, so it's practical. The parade scene.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
Okay.
There are, 10,000 people at that parade? Uh-huh. That parade is taking up blocks of downtown. And then 2 minutes after the parade's over, they're in the garage getting their car. I call BS on that. I've been in a downtown area.
Yeah, the
I've
Portland been to a parade. Rose Festival.
It would have taken them three hours just to get out of downtown, get out of traffic, get back onto the freeway. There's just no chance. Look, I can say the least believable event is the day in itself, because let's just examine the day. Let's say they got Sloan by 8, 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Let's go 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got her by 9 o'clock.
My wife and I.
Okay. Let's say it takes 30 to 45 minutes to get into Chicago. So they're down there about 10. Okay. So at 10, from 10 a.m. to, they're going to have to be home between 5 and 6 because the parents are coming home from work. So we're looking at a 7 to 8 hour window. You still have to drive back to. So they go to a baseball game. We've been to baseball games, three and a half hours, right? Okay, so they do that. They go to the museum. They go to lunch. They go to the stock exchange. They go to some, I guess it's Sloan's house where they go in a pool.
That was a question I had, is whose house was that?
I always guessed it was Sloan's.
Okay, yep.
So they spend time there swimming. He's still got to run home.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see the amount of things they did fitting into the timeline of getting that. And then just the timeliness of those guys coming back right as they showed up. How did that work? I mean, were they following them around? I don't know. At one point, they're in traffic in a cab because the dad sees them. I mean, you know how long that takes in downtown Chicago in the middle of the week? And so the parade to me, though, where they just get out of there in no time flat.
Yeah.
Impossible. That, from a practical standpoint, that wouldn't happen. I don't think the whole day happens. They're doing too many things in the window of time. And who goes to the stock? Who's 17 years old goes to a stock exchange? What are they even there for?
Yeah. Can't.
And why is it like, open in the middle of the afternoon?
Well, I was going to say.
Trading's is in like that the even, morning and stuff.
Is that even a thing? Like, can public Chicago, go in and watch?
I don't know. I thought those rooms for like investors or people who were, but they were just sitting in there. How'd they get in? You know, there's lots of questions. So anyway, so least believable, couple things, right?
There's a few. I was going to kind of go off on, I've got two.
Expecting it.
So Ferris complains that his sister got a Fiero and he got a computer or whatever. Yeah. But his synthesizer he uses to make all that
it's really good.
Weird noise, it was called an EMU Emulator 2.
Yeah.
And in 1986, it had a price tag of $7,995.
We've already established that family's doing well. So.
A base Fiero's MSRP was $8,499.
Nice.
So they were. You got to give the parents that. They were fairly equitable in they the were. Stuff they give. But I think the most unrealistic thing, it was a really quick reference, was in the hallway at the high school.
Yeah.
Jeannie finds out that they're collecting money for Ferris, and they're gonna get. He says he's gonna give his eyes to Stevie Wonder.
Yeah,
yeah. And I googled it because I thought maybe an eye transplant was a thing.
Maybe it was,
but apparently eye transplants are not a thing.
They do not
exist.
There were no face offs at this time.
No, because I was thinking, yeah, I guess you would hear. I guess Stevie Wonder would have sight by now if we really could.
Yeah,
but no, they have cornea transplants, but they do not have eye transplants.
All right, you really dug deep for this.
I did.
Situation.
All I right. probably I gotcha. Did the most on it was on That's this.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad you dug into that eye situation.
Yeah, so cornea transplants are a thing. Eye transplants are not a thing. Which. Okay. I wonder why. It seems like with today's technology, we could transfer. You could put some new eyes in there.
It's probably difficult.
So. I don't know.
All right. Okay. Well, that takes us to, let's see. That was our least believable events. We got several there, but
yes.
Yours is weird, but we'll go with it.
Okay.
you really, really honed in on some, like a very unique situation in that movie, but yeah. So best cameo. We mentioned him earlier. I've got Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
His first big kind of thing. You know, he pops up. He's only in for a couple minutes, but like you said, it's done really well. Plays off for her really well. It's funny. He looks like hell. I love the whole thing's good.
Yeah.
So Charlie Sheen. So he's good.
I'm going to go with Ben Stein.
The Stein. Yeah.
Yeah. Only because I think of all the lines in the movie,
the most iconic.
It's still around today. We still do it. You know, we still go Bueller. And even kids now will go, "What are you like? Why are you saying that?" And we're like, because it's a thing. So
yeah,
I'm gonna go with Ben.
Well, there were a couple others. Christy Swanson has a part.
My sister's girlfriend's friend.
Yep. Louis Anderson.
Yeah, he was the florist.
He's on the porch.
He was the florist.
It's me, Louie.
Yeah.
He didn't get to talk too much, but he was there.
Yeah.
So you had Louis Anderson. Those were the big ones.
Yeah, I think there's anybody else.
Not too many other big ones, but those were the big ones. Yeah. But Charlie Sheen did the best job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that gets us to our 10th and final category.
Yeah, this one's,
now I know you love this one.
Yeah, it was dumb.
And I'll go first.
All right.
What do you mean dumb? This is an essential part of the movie. They give out Oscars for this, for costumes and wardrobe.
What? Okay, so, I'd be curious to see what outfit in this movie.
Outfit.
They're all wearing normal clothes.
They're not. All right, here I go. All right. So you should like this one. Best outfit, category 10. I'm going with Cameron and the Red Wings jersey.
Yeah.
They live outside of Chicago, and Cameron says, forget the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
I'm a Detroit fan. So classic khakis with some loafers. And for you, Rob, he doesn't wear it the whole time, but he's got a plaid Peaky Blinders hat, just like you're wearing now.
Yes.
So he's got the Peaky Blinders hat. And so his whole outfit, I just like that he's – bucking the system and wearing the Red Wings jersey in Chicago, because that would be pretty pretty controversial back then. Come to find out later, John Hughes is a big Detroit Red Wings fan, which is why he's wearing the jersey. But I like to think Cameron just is bucking the trends and going with this. So
this is
the part for best outfit where I assume you're going to come in with Rooney's great three-piece suit, right? Because you're like, that would look sharp when I go to work as a principal. So
you're so close. No, I never realized that he was wearing that it was a Detroit. I mean, I knew it was, but I never realized that the difference between Detroit and Chicago. Like, I didn't until I was doing research for this, and I was like, oh, yeah. Anyway, no, it's not Rooney's suit. It was a tie between Ferris's Tarzan swim trunks.
Nice, those were good.
You know,
yeah.
Or Rooney's sunglasses.
Ah, the flip-ups?
Those are awesome.
They are something.
And then my, and I liked how the music was synced with when he'd flip them up.
Yes.
And then flip them down.
Yep.
And then my wife asked a good question. She said, why would you need to have them flip up if there wasn't another?
I guess if you're inside to see.
But then you just take them off.
But if, then you have to take them off. That way you don't have to put them on your head or like in a case or anything. You just leave them.
I guess.
I had a pair of those.
I mean, those are killer.
I had a pair of those in sixth grade or seventh grade. They were my, but they were baseball sunglasses.
Oh,
remember,
sure.
They would wear those?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And before they wore just regular Oakleys and what they wear now, we had those flip-up glasses.
Yeah.
And if you popped it up in the sun, you'd flip them down real quick, catch, and then you didn't have to have them on the whole time.
Yeah.
Maybe he's wearing them for that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is a guy who's running around town grabbing girls in pizza parlors and everything else. So and by the way, unsung character there, when she turns around, pretty good looking girl. And I guess they're out of school today too, or she's 20. I'm not sure what's going on there. So that arcade was very full for the middle of a school day with Rooney running around looking for Ferris.
Well, I think it just plays into the fact that Rooney he's failing.
Yeah, he sucks.
Because my guess is, I know my attendance in my building.
Yeah,
and 8 is not bad.
he didn't like it.
You know, 8
9
and what time?
Times.
What time of school year would this have been? So I mean, it's baseball.
I think it's towards the end of the.
He says he goes. We're going to graduate in a couple months.
Graduate in a couple months. Yeah.
So we're getting.
And then
the
she's
the
got another
year.
Year of school. Yeah, you're at the end of school.
So if he's only missed school nine times up to this point in the school year, you're not truant.
Well, he said 9 that semester.
Oh, he did say 9 this semester. Yeah, so. Because you're technically not truant until you hit 18 for the year.
Look at you.
So he's not.
This is what we have you here for the exact details.
Yeah. So he's not
truancy.
He's not truant.
He's not.
Unless he has more the previous term that we don't know.
And
about.
Again, and I don't think they give two shits if he's at school. The principal.
No.
Right? There might be someone. You'll. No. They might notify the home.
My kids that have 9 absences are not on my list.
I gotcha.
There's kids with way more, you know.
Well, Rooney sucks. We've already stopped him.
But yeah, his school's falling apart. His kids they're all at the.
He's not doing a good job at all. So, and when they come to pick up Sloan, I've been to schools in the morning, whatever. There's not another car within sight. Like, I don't know where anybody's parked or what they're doing at that school, but it's the emptiest space in front of a school I've ever seen.
And to go back to the cameo, the teachers are awful.
Yeah.
Ben Stein's an awful teacher. And then there's that economics teacher. Or no, not economics. No. He's a
history?
History or something.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, he's not doing
I mean, there it's all.
So if you were evaluating them, they wouldn't get high grades.
Awful.
Okay, I gotcha.
That school's not doing
well. Doing a good job.
A lot of sit and get. There's no wait time. He's doing this. He's
just
doing this.
Stop.
Well, what's the thing he does where he goes? Something. DOO economics. That's right.
I know.
Voodoo economics.
Voodoo economics. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to help him out.
It's awful.
Again, it's the end of the school year. No one. He knows they're not paying attention. He's just trying to get
Your wife's a teacher. She's not teaching like that.
Probably not.
She's not doing
it. No, she would. Well, I think that's a pretty good coverage of Ferris Bueller. You got anything else?
I don't have anything.
I think we got everything from top to bottom. I'm sure someone will let us know we missed something important. But that does bring us to the end of this episode, Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We hope you've enjoyed our look back at the all-time 80s classic movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I know we had some fun. As usual, Rob came up with some interesting ideas about the movie, but we'll let you judge for yourself. If you like this podcast, please hit that subscribe button and share it with a friend. Then head on over to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us feedback and 5 stars, which will help the show grow. Rob and I love hearing from our listeners, so leave us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or our website, which are all included in the show notes, and we will answer anything you send to us. You can also email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com with comments or show ideas you may want to hear in the future. And don't forget to tune in to brand new episodes of this podcast every Tuesday. And any other time you want to check in, we have 20-plus other great episodes talking about 80s, 90s music, anything else you can think of.
What do we do next time?
Next time, we are heading back to a Billboard countdown.
Hello.
Hot 100 this time for July 18th, 1985.
Wow.
So we're going to go back in time, back to the future, very relevant in 85.
Okay.
Hopefully we can hit 88 miles per hour and find out those 100 songs on the countdown.
85.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
at almost 85, Johnny's Alive. Those don't go together, but that's fine.
No.
Anytime we can get Johnny into the show for you, makes you happy. So, you got anything else?
No, I don't got anything else.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye.
No fancy.